is in St Kilda. How are you, Maurice?
Yeah, very, very good. 24 degrees, sunny skies.
Happy Tuesday to you. Well, we keep saying, is the genie out of the... Well, I do. Is the genie out of the bottle and stuff when it comes to AI? But there's been some interesting stuff this week that's brought in the topic of AI and content moderation. Who'd have thought it?
Who'd have thunk it? We've gone back to where we always end up, and that's with horrible humans using really good technology for perhaps not so wonderful things.
That's what's kept us alive for thousands of years, I suppose.
It has, and it's kept me in business for a long, long time. So, I mean, really what we're talking about is the extension of artificial intelligence, which has been a big conversation for the last year and a bit. As we say, been around a lot longer, but in public hands only for a year. And it's extraordinary how it has taken over every conversation in the last year or so, from a technological viewpoint, from a social, political, and environmental, and all sorts of other things. And that's what the articles that we're both going to talk about today are coming from.
Yeah. Well, first up, isn't it funny, all sorts of horrible things going on in the world, and the one story people are talking about are deepfake naughty pics of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's terrible, it's heinous, it's nothing good to be said about it, but it is something, and this doesn't make it better or worse, but it didn't start with her. It's been happening for a very long time.
Mm.
Now, the background to, well, not the background, but my issue with this also is they were absolutely right, they being X or Twitter or whatever we want to call it this week, taking down every search of Taylor Swift. So there were videos made of Taylor Swift.
Which is ironic, Maurice, because apparently statistically she's the most famous person in the world or something.
Yeah, the most searched after. And in fact, we can tell now how well searched she was by how many people were looking.
Yeah.
But what there was, for those that are playing catch up on this, was there were some explicit videos that did the rounds online of supposedly Taylor Swift in the last couple of weeks. It turns out absolutely that these were AI fakes, that somebody had gone and done the usual cut and paste image of putting her head on, a bit more sophisticated, onto an existing image. And of course, many people fell for it and many people began to search for it. Mm-hmm. And that's what led the authorities and everybody else onto the search, as well as the Swifties all getting really excited by it, thankfully excited in the way of, and this is what I like about social media, we often give it a really bad rap. But what happened here was that all of the followers, all the Swifties, got onto this really, really quickly. Mm. And they started slamming all of the sites where these videos were up. And they put up messages saying that these were not proper images of her, hadn't been sanctioned, and putting up other images in their place.
Mm-hmm.
So the community was really onto it and trying to hose it down. And then X comes along and says, look, it absolutely seems that these things shouldn't be there, and we're going to take it down. We're going to take everything down. If you searched anything for Taylor Swift in the next little while, you won't find anything at all till we can sort this thing out.
I mean, sledgehammer to crack a peanut, or would you say that was the sensible thing to do?
Both. I mean, there is no other way. It's absolutely sledgehammer to peanut because everything went down. I think she could afford to lose a bit of publicity over those couple of days. She wasn't going to, you know, apart from the detriment it was doing, and nobody believes it to be true, so nobody's having anything but, you know, best of intent for her. But it is sledged, you know, but what else do we do, Phil? We've talked about this often. You can't kind of go in there with your eraser or your whiteout. Remember whiteout, Phil? The thing we used to use on typewriter, Tippex. Yeah. We were talking about that last week in the office for some strange reason, and you could tell all the young'uns who had no idea, because I made the comment of, does somebody have whiteout? Because I actually needed it not for that but for a painting thing. Anyway, by the by. So what happened here was that X decided they were taking everything down until they could resolve it.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they could have done.
Nothing. I'll tell you something that strikes me here. When you think of people like Taylor Swift, who was so, so famous, I think the immediate thing is to think, well, her fan base must be really young. Well, thankfully, in this case, not so. We're talking mid-20s to mid-40s. So it's not the teenagers who are seeing these explicit images.
They're not. They're absolutely, well, look, of course they can if they wish to, and I'm sure many did, but no, you're right. Her fan base goes across all ages.
Right.
Not to take anything away from Taylor Swift, but the thing that bothers me about what happened here, apart from all the nefarious, terrible stuff that happened to her, was that mere mortals can't get this kind of service done to them. If a mere mortal has something put up about them that is nefarious, that is wrong, that is AI adjusted, or something is said out of place, it cannot be taken down that easily. In fact, for a mere mortal, it's almost impossible for that to be done. Mm. So I'm not suggesting for a moment that she didn't deserve this treatment, being taken down the terrible stuff and saying, look, no one has access to it, wiping it. That was, of course, what had to be done. But we need to find a way where everybody has access to this kind of ability to rub out really terrible material.
But then people will start jumping up and down about being censured, won't they?
And there lies the problem. Who decides on what's bad and what's good? You know, if something's written bad about somebody, it doesn't mean necessarily that's wrong. And that person, of course, who it's being written about would protest. But the rest of the world would say, yeah, but the world needs to know about it. And that's where we get into this debate always. You know, which side wins? Is it the side where everything goes down unless it's all approved, or do we have some kind of sanction? What do we do? And the answer is there's very little at this stage that we can do.
All right, there's an interesting article in The Guardian. We don't need to read out the headline, but basically the guts of it is why generative AI is such a real and imminent threat, those two words, to the way we live. This was bound to happen, wasn't it?
It has been happening. Remember our old friend who might be president yet again who's talked about false news? I mean, that's what this thing was about. So what the article talks about is this really interesting notion that it calls online hallucinations. Mm-hmm. And I like that term a lot. Artificially generated hallucinations. It goes back to something that I was brought up with, you know, before technologies, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and that's the notion if enough people say something, then it must be true. Yeah. And that's not necessarily the truth either.
No.
But that's what happened. If enough people said it, you began to believe it. And that's exactly what this article talks about. The generative AI, this, you know, all these chatbots, everything we're talking about, ChatGPT, of course, can only use information that's fed to it. What it does is use algorithms. It uses all kinds of what it believes to be artificial smarts to figure out what's good, bad, and indifferent, and feedback information that is only good, but it doesn't always succeed. If lots and lots of people say the wrong thing, and that's the general meme online, then usually that's what ChatGPT will come back with. And that's the problem that this author was talking about, that we're coming up to a really difficult, well, to a really big changing point in the world where we have lots of elections happening this year. We talked about that about a month or so.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
We've got Taiwan, India, Russia, South Africa, Mexico, Iran, Pakistan, Indonesia, European Union, not forget our friends in the US and the UK. Lots of elections coming up.
So are we going to see like a massive upspike in AI progress,
well,
technology?
Well, that's exactly what they're saying, that this year, of course, because technology has come so much further, it's the first year where artificial intelligence, that genie's out of the bottle, what they are presupposing are these online hallucinations will begin to happen, artificially generated ones. In other words, we will begin to be fed a whole lot of information that a few people will accept at face value, they'll begin to spread it, and it will go like wildfire. So we're not sure what's going to be said and whether it's true and whether the politicians or the parties are actually putting out this information or whether somebody, again, the fairies, is doing it. That's a really big issue this year.
There's another interesting thing that people find with the kind of AIs that we get to use on our phones and stuff for asking it to help us with bits and pieces. It's got a really annoying moral compass. It won't willy-nilly do stuff for us.
Yeah, it won't. But again, it's early days. You know, let's wait a couple of generations and see. We already have new technology on, literally knocking on the door of the horizon, being released by Google and all sorts of Microsoft and others, that will push that a little bit further. At the moment, a lot of the ChatGPTs, a lot of the Bards or whatever one we're using are kind of locked by time or they're locked by space. In other words, their parameters are being put on it. We're going to find this new AI, and especially with this new set of hardware that's coming out that are specific to artificial intelligence, we're going to see that open up. So it'll be far easier to have a conversation. It'll seem less like there's boundaries, less like there's pushback from what we want to know.
And it gives you these really passive-aggressive answers, doesn't it? I don't.
Yeah,
not for doing anything outrageous, but you know, when it involves perhaps a swear word or something, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was it? I cannot do that.
Yeah, it does, and it kind of makes assumptions too about what you want to know and what you don't.
It does indeed.
I did a search just before, you know, when we talked about this today, using ChatGPT about the article on Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah,
and its response was it never came back and actually used her name. It talked about a famous model or a famous singer, but it refused to use her name outright.
See, not only does it not do what you ask, but it kind of gives you its opinion. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's meant to do, I guess.
It gives you an opinion, and whose opinion it is really interesting, because that's the crux of this article too, on the politics.
I always joke about Facebook, Morris, because I'm like, I'll decide what's relevant, you know, when it says relevant or all or latest comments. Just show me the comments. I decide what I think is relevant, not you.
But you're unusual in that way, in the good way, that you know, what you do because of your journalist background is that you critique it. You look at it and ask for its source, even if that's not the words that you
use. You need the balance. You need how it goes from, it pings from one comment to another. Yeah. You see the journey.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the article, the one about the politicians and this year and a lot of generative AI that might not be truthful, that's exactly what they're pushing back on. Their premise is, look, like Taylor Swift, you can't take down the comments. It takes too long for most people to figure out where it came from, in other words, what was the source of the articles. But what it's asking people to do is to do exactly that, is to use their own nous, is to understand where it came from or what its context is. They're also looking for the technology companies to come and solve this in small ways, which, again, those people will overcome. But it's quite possible to put watermarks, for instance, into video, invisible watermarks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not just talking about something that, you know, can see but seen by the naked eye. It's almost like a DNA into there. So they're asking, for instance, that maybe these DNA-type watermarkings in every video that's ever put up is part of every piece of technology. In other words, we can trace its source back to where it originated from and where the cuts and copies were made. It's asking also that the political parties develop policies, which I'm not sure how that will help or what they will do. But what we need is some kind of AI-generated ability to cope with this. And the problem that we've talked about many times and everybody talks about is that often these comments are made in one jurisdiction about another jurisdiction. In other words, somebody might say something outside of Australia about Australian politics. It's very, very difficult to go and do anything about those external parties in any meaningful political legal way.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because there's a fairly, you know, fully encompassing article on the BBC about this. And the last two paragraphs are: there are currently no federal laws, US, against the sharing or creation of deepfake images, though there have been moves at state level to tackle the issue. And the final bit says, in the UK, the sharing of deepfake pornography became illegal as part of its Online Safety Act in 2023. So, I mean, even if there are laws there, the guys who make and create and put this stuff out are truly brilliant. They may be despicable, but they're truly brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, they're using their, you know, their wonderful wisdom for evilness, but
very well.
And that's very, very well. And that's where you always go, unfortunately, to look at the cutting edge of any technology, because they benefit the first from being able to twist and make this thing do what they needed to do to make a buck out of it, or to be able to push forward their cause.
You often wonder, then, Morris, why can't the government side of things, why can't governments of the world be as brilliant? I mean, these guys are unstoppable.
Governments don't have the same impetus. They don't have the same desire. Governments take a long, long, long time to even come to terms with what anything is, whereas these people literally are inventing the technology. They're pushing the technology. They're at the coal front of it. And I honestly do not think there is a government in the world that can claim to be at the forefront of anything in this sense.
So it's possible that whoever's behind these deepfake images of Taylor Swift has learned one or two really significant things through doing this, and they will get better.
Oh, much, much better. Absolutely much better. And they will find other purposes. And more and more, you know, unfortunately, other people have learned about it. I mean, the fact that we're talking about it brings it to another audience, and that's what's happening.
Wow.
That this technology
is fashion
really
radio, Morris.
Yeah, well, but this technology, well, that's exactly it. This technology, unfortunately, is really easy. I mean, it's very, very easy. It's free, widely available. It doesn't require any great abilities. So the reality is that these things will happen and will continue to happen. I watched a really harrowing documentary the other day about teen suicide because of these sorts of things, where they are being blackmailed for pictures they didn't take but are being said to be them and put into their community, and then people asking for money for that. And it was such a terrible, harrowing documentary to see how large that problem is. And again, on this basis of AI being able to alter people's images and bodies and send that round.
So this is like the paradigm of our times, AI, right? Would you say that?
I think it's a tool. I mean, like always, it's a tool, and the tool is not being well used by some people. Whenever we get into a new space, people get, you know, some people will just race ahead and do these terrible things. Eventually, we will play catch up. Hopefully, we will get used to it. We'll start to be more sensitive, ask better questions of it. Governments will do what they can to catch up.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it is part of our lives ongoing now. We just need to be careful about everything we read, everything we see, ask for its source, become, you know, do our own editing and become wise. But that's not new.
Yeah, so has it well gone past the point of no return? That's pretty much where we started.
Oh, yeah, today. Absolutely. It absolutely has gone past the. But we need to figure out, knowing that, and knowing that it has a good side to it, a very good side to it, and lots of upside, how do we kind of deal with this really well? And part of it for the short term is being human. It's pushing back on stuff that we see that just doesn't seem to be right and not allowing it to happen. Even though we can't get it taken down like Taylor Swift, still rattle the cages.
So it's us learning how to have a moral compass. I've got to leave it there, Maurice. TBC, thank you very much for your time. That's Maurice Misolowski, live from Melbourne. I think it was him anyway.